Mike, Seth, and Paul in the house. Yesterday, the Pittsburgh Steelers announced they won't use any tag on Le'Veon Bell. No franchise, no transition tag. Le'Veon Bell tweeted, free at last, thank God Almighty, I am free at last. Ugh, eye roll. He is reportedly looking for a contract worth $48 million over the first 3 years. That is per Manish Mehta of the New York Daily News. Another report, Le'Veon Bell weighed 260 pounds at points over the course of this past season. He's currently listed at 225 pounds and has tweeted in the past about being around 2.5% body fat, and you don't leave a Lambo in the shop if you're not going to keep it in shape. His playing weight at Michigan State was 245 pounds. Mehta, by the way, reports that he has lost most of this weight, which makes me wonder why Mehta even put the report out there, but that's Manish Mehta for you. You got to turn your microphone on, Michael.
Yes, I do.
Turn it on.
Manish Mehta will throw out some weird things, but I'm not going to lie. If there's any truth to this, this would be a major concern.
If Bell was a fat last season, I'm sorry. Out. You can't sit with us.
260 pounds.
What do you mean, though? Like last season, he was fat before, previously. He was
at Michigan State.
Yeah, right. Yeah. No, I mean, he was fat his rookie year, too.
Right. I played it all out. Yeah, exactly.
Right. No, I know, but I'm saying, like, if he was fat during the, what do you mean last season?
He was fat while on the Pittsburgh Steelers roster this past season.
Right, but if he leaned out, then you're still, like, the fact that he was fat keeps you from wanting to sign him now? Like,
I don't want no fats.
What if he shows up for his visit and he looks fine? As long as he's got to control his weight really well.
Suck his gut in?
No, he looks like you can tell if he, well, for one, he'll weigh in.
Well, it adds to the question marks because sat out the season.
Yeah.
He has a suspension in the past. He's a running back. So everything else I want to be perfect, pristine.
Right, but if he's fine now, like if he just bloated up a little bit because he wasn't planning on playing football, he was just living the life. If anything, all those ligaments and tendons strengthened a little bit because they had to carry around his sturdy ass.
True.
It's like when hefty guys lose weight, their calves remain huge because they've had to cart around all that extra lard for years and years, like a wheelbarrow full of lard right on their belly.
So
their
really
calves
calf
get gigantic.
Workout.
Yeah. Well, look at them. Dude, if you ever walk behind a hefty dude, check out his calves. It's impressive. They're a sight to
behold.
Tubas.
Now that you mention it, that's a good point.
Of course it's a good point.
It's
a fact. 2 + 2 = 4. Good point. Fat dudes have good calves. Excellent point.
That is an excellent point.
Congratulations, all you fat guys out there.
So to not have skinny calves, what you're saying is Paul needs to get fat.
Well, they still might be skinny, but they'll be bulkier over time, yeah.
Okay, so this news comes out of Jacksonville, Florida. Seth, you're going to need to interpret this Tom Coughlin quote.
Speaking of personnel, where are things with Blake right now?
Blake is the quarterback with the Jacksonville Jaguars right now.
That's all you got. Interpret it.
That'd be okay. I'm going to do a comparison.
What
if somebody asked Tom Coughlin what he thinks of his wife? Hey, what do you think of Judy? She's currently my wife. That would be signs that
green
things aren't that good. Whereas Tom Coughlin and Judy Coughlin have an incredible marriage. They've been together for, I'm guessing, over 40 years now. He would have said something effusive. He would have given her huge praise because he's committed to her. The opposite would be whatever he just said about Blake Bortles. That's the opposite of how he feels about Judy Coughlin. So that is a prom date that you just had to, that you got stuck with. Like you asked the 10 other girls out and that this is the one that you're stuck with and now you've been stuck with them for 5 years.
Here's the interpretation. Blake Bortles is our quarterback for now. And once I find a better one this offseason, he will be cut.
Right. Which is weird because we just gave him a huge contract when we could have drafted Pat Mahomes or Deshaun Watson a couple years back. That was dumb, but that's what we did, and now we have to make up for it. The biggest thing, if you're in Jacksonville, that you wonder is, okay, how is this affecting the locker room? How, if I'm sitting there as a player, going out there, busting my butt all the time, and playing better than the quarterback who's getting paid more than anybody else on the team, over time, that starts to create some questions about leadership. And you can't sit there and let Blake Bortles continue to collect a welfare check.
Agreed.
That's what he's doing. He's collecting a welfare. He's a rich kid. He's no better than a Paris Hilton of the football field. He lucked into a situation where because he's big and strapping and looks like he should be a good football player, he keeps getting paid like he's a good football player. It's asinine. It's ridiculous. Somehow, like, you're going to tell me that somehow anybody that, because Blake Bortles is a 6'4", 6'5", and looks like the prototype, that somehow some 6-foot-tall dude couldn't be better than Blake Bortles. This heightism, I shall not stand. The greatest evil is when good people do nothing. I'm not going to sit by any longer and watch short people get discriminated against. I will stand up for the Kyler Murrays of the world and say that, is Kyler Murray really going to be worse than Blake Bortles if he gets drafted into the NFL? Ridiculous.
Some people would say Kyler Murray is average height.
Yeah, yeah. Average height of an NFL man, or average height of a
human.
Average height of a man in certain parts of the world.
Exactly.
Not here, but other parts. Well, he'd be a towering monster.
I think he's slightly above average in the United States. What is the average height? 5'9"?
Take him back to medieval England, and he's a damn giant.
Damn,
that's a good point.
I need to go back to medieval England. People would be crawling all over me like I'm a tree, and said I'm 5'11".
We can shower.
And 3/4 and lie in my license and say that I'm 6 feet tall. Hey, did you know that there was a key college basketball match last night, and some tickets for the game went for $3,000 plus. One of them was for $10,000 per Vivid Seats. Obama was even there. That's right. I'm talking about North Carolina and Duke, which was an absolute crap game because Zion Williamson left the game with a knee injury 36 seconds in after his shoe exploded. It actually exploded, and UNC cruised to an easy 88-72 victory.
Did it actually explode?
It blew up.
It literally exploded.
They had to evacuate Obama.
I know. That's what I was thinking. If it had literally exploded, the fact that he had a shoe bomb and somehow smuggled it into the locker room or smuggled it onto the arena would have been a bigger deal. I actually read already, Michael McCann from Source Illustrated already has a piece out about whether he could sue Nike or not, or whether Duke should sue Nike. I'm guessing that with the cozy relationship Nike has with both college basketball teams like Duke and with future NBA players, that Nike doesn't get sued one bit. I don't think there's one. Does Nike suffer from this PR wise? This is a bad look for Nike.
Our guy Darren Revelle was all over this last night on Twitter. Yeah, I mean, this was like, this became his white whale essentially about how bad this was for Nike.
Yeah.
I just look at this, and in football it's a big deal, and maybe in baseball as well, but I can't think of too many NBA players or guys who were big, big college basketball stars like Zion Williamson is, where this is a guy who could tear his entire knee, which he didn't, and he would still be, in my mind, the number one overall pick in the draft.
He would still actually be ahead of LeBron James in the MVP race. That's what they would do, this damn rest of these damn Nazis out there.
Yep. Weird situation, though. I mean, 33 seconds into a game, having a shoe explode, knee sprain, out of the game.
This is what's not clear to me from the video, was it the extreme force of the plant that led to both the injury and the shoe blowing out, or did the shoe blow out causing the injury?
It's a good
question. I don't think there's any way you could necessarily, like, if it did go to court, which I don't think it will, say that it was specifically the shoe that caused it.
I don't know. It was hard to tell based on video.
Yeah.
Watch out tonight, by the way. You mentioned LeBron James. LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers are hosting the Houston Rockets tonight in a game that'll see Chris Paul and Rondo playing each other for the first time since Spitgate on October 21st. Clint Capela was back at practice, which is also pretty splendid. But LeBron James has decided that he is now activated.
It's been quite a while for me. That I've been under 500 going to the All-Star break. I don't remember the last time. So, you know, my level of intensity has to be, unfortunately for me, because I don't like to do it at such an early time. I'm a little bit different. But it's been activated, so look forward to seeing what we can do.
I don't like to do it at such an early time. I don't like to activate playoff mode when my team's under 500 and I have the toughest schedule left in the NBA the rest of the season.
LeBron James, everybody.
By the way, one big thing when it comes to the Lakers' side of this is not only do they have to make the playoffs, they have to make the playoffs as the 7th seed because they cannot be the 8th seed because that is the same thing as not making the playoffs entirely because you're facing Golden State. From a Rockets standpoint, real quick, the Rockets need to win either tonight or on Saturday against Golden State. That is a tough way to open up the, not really second half of the season, post-All-Star break. Win one of these next two. Time now for Move Seth's Needle on Sports Radio 610.
All right, so here's the thing. Trevor Bauer is despised by Houstonians. He's the Cleveland Indian pitcher who just can't keep his mouth shut on social media. He attacks young college women that have mild criticism for him on Twitter. He just talks smack about his own teammates and former teammates. He's largely a despicable person, which is why Why, Mike? This is why I'm mad at Sports Illustrated once again. Because Sports Illustrated, whenever they do a feature piece on a human being, I end up having a little bit of sympathy for him. And this is where I am with Trevor Bauer right now, who we affectionately refer to as Tyler Bauer on this show and elsewhere in Houston. He had a rough time of it growing up. He just didn't fit in. He's obviously very socially awkward. And you wonder how much of that is his fault versus how much of it is society's fault that he's become the person he is now. This is an excerpt from that about Tyler Bauer and his high school experience. On Friday nights, the students at Hart High would sit together in the student section at football games and then descend upon In-N-Out Burger before going to parties. Bauer was never invited. He sat with his dad, ate with him at Brothers Burgers, and then went home with him to watch Friday night fights. For the longest time, I just couldn't figure out why everyone hated me, he says. I used to feel really bad about myself. Like, why don't I have any friends? Why don't girls like me? Why does everyone talk bleep about me? Am I really that bad of a person? One morning during his junior year at Hart, Bauer returned home from an early pool workout, took a shower, and looked at himself in the mirror, feeling sorry for himself as usual. Then something flipped. I don't see anything that I dislike, he told himself. I'm going to go off to college and play baseball. I'm successful. I'm smart. I like myself. From that day forward, he says, I just stopped giving a bleep what people thought of me, and now I just don't care. Do you feel any different about Tyler Bauer after hearing that?
Well, when I was reading that story, and I was actually envisioning Trevor Bauer going to the high school football games with his dad
while everybody else is sitting together in the student section.
And then going to get a burger with his dad. And
well,
then
like all
home.
The kids across the street at the In-N-Out Burger, like having a good time. There's like girls dancing in the windows and stuff. It's like the craziest In-N-Out Burger you've ever seen, but he's sitting there with his dad.
And I'm not going to lie. It kind of depressed me just envisioning what those nights must have been like. It actually made me kind of sad.
Yeah.
But then I'm still, and you have to also think like, all right, kids, while kids are great, kids can also be terrible and very mean to other kids. You have to balance that in your mind, right? And so I just really want to know, okay, I get it that some of these people didn't treat, or many of these people didn't treat Bauer well, but it ultimately comes down to, is he just a jackass whole time?
Was he bringing it on himself?
Yes.
That's right. You see that little vignette. Was he, Paul, do you feel any more sympathetic to Tyler?
No, I don't feel any sympathy for him at all. I moved down to Florida when I was in high school after a divorce. I had only my mom and me, essentially, and for the first year, I was doing nothing except for luckily having an uncle take me to sporting events.
Yeah.
And I was a bit of a jackass when I first moved down there because I wasn't sure I wanted to be down there. But guess what I did? I adapted to the situation and actually did make friends despite being, for some people, a tad insufferable at times. I could actually make friends. It pisses me off that Trevor Bauer's trying to do this woe is me thing because once again, he is exactly the kind of person that when you see out there and you feel bad for him and you actually reach out a helping hand to say, hey man, like, come join us. He starts acting like a jackass again because that's his nature. I hate people like that. I have a specific person. There was a kid named David in our grade. I swear to God, Seth, I did this like 5 times. I felt horrible for him because everyone picked on him all the time. And then whenever I tried to be nice, invite him to things, every bleeping time he was a jackass. Every single time. And I kept doing it.
He's probably out in Silicon Valley killing it now.
No, he's not. I legitimately feel for him because he's had some family situations since then. But like in high school, those situations did not exist, and I was just like, dude, what more do you want from all these people? You're saying woe is me, woe is me. You create this for yourself, and people are trying to help you anyway. Sorry.
I found myself feeling bad for Trevor Bauer after this, but at the same time, as he was telling himself in the mirror that he's a good person and it shouldn't matter, I couldn't, and I feel dirty about this, but I couldn't help but think of Stuart Smiley from Saturday Night Live.
I'm going to do a terrific show today, and I'm going to help people because I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me. Hello. I'm Stuart Smalley.
So that was Stuart Smalley. Did I say Stuart Smiley? Stuart Smalley. So that part of it was ruined for me because it was just so comical that he had to give himself the pep talk in the mirror. And I imagine he does it every day. Like, I'm going to go out and crush it on Twitter today because people like me. Now, contrast this with Alex Bregman, who is Trevor Bauer's nemesis. And Bregman, of course, we remember, embarrassed him in the postseason last year. This is the difference, I think, between these two guys. Bregman has actually some traits in common with Trevor Bauer in that I don't think he gives a damn what people really think of him. But the other day, there was a kid on the Pitching Ninja Twitter site that had his video put up there of him taking swings in a batting cage. And what did Bregman tweet out about it?
So Bregman tweeted, great swing. And
just said simply great swing. The father responded that the son read this and was just running around the house screaming and going crazy because Alex Bregman had complimented his swing.
So Bregman asked, y'all in Florida, I'll hit with him. So he offered to hit with him
this
and
family's
help
in
him
Atlanta,
out.
And I would imagine he'll take him up on that. Bregman's got all these stories. He's given money to waitresses and everything on his YouTube channel. The two couldn't be more different. Yet at the same time, there's almost like a fork in the road where these two guys could have gone different ways in their life. Trevor chose evil, and Alex chose the brightened path.
I'll put it this way. Let's say you had a son, Seth, instead of a daughter, and you wanted a professional athlete to hang out with that person for a day, right? With your son, hypothetically. Yeah. You'd much rather choose Bregman because he's much cooler and would be more engaged with the kid, whereas I feel like Bauer would be so weird that it would just be a very odd day.
Why
That's
my daughter
take.
Hang out with him?
Well, I don't know. I just wanted to make
now
it easier.
Now I'm offended as a guy that has a daughter and not a son. Like,
I just figured if I brought that up, it would be like,
all of a sudden, like, the creepy side of Trevor Bauer. Okay, good point.
Yeah. I just want to stick with male.
For sure, Alex Bregman. They'd have a good time.
They would have a good time, yeah. Exactly. Yes, Bregman was...
Trevor would sit there and like, try to convince my son about 9/11 conspiracies.
Exactly.
Like, listen, hey, kid. Check out this
YouTube channel.
Let me ask you this. Do you believe everything they tell you? No. And I don't need that.